Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
James Fegan.
Yes, James.
James Fegan's got some branding on his laptop, making sure everybody knows that he's joined The Athletic.
Can never get too much exposure.
On Twitter at JR Fegan.
I can anticipate this question is probably way too early, but
excellent. Too soon. Too soon.
Asking the questions to get the answers you need.
If you knew that Abreu was available to be the runner there, would you have gone to him instead of Hendrick?
If I'd known that, I didn't know that. I'd check the rule. I'm guessing you know the rules better. Now I know.
James Fegan with Bernstein and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's talk White Sox with James Fegan. One of those guys asking those questions. It was making me so mad on Saturday. And I'm hearing all the voices saying, Tony, no, that's not right. And you're making me crazy and my ass hurts. James Fegan is on Twitter at JR Fegan. He writes for The Athletic and he's with us on The Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. Hello, James.
How's it going?
Things are good, James, other than like the weekend of White Sox baseball. Before we get into like the baseball aspect, I wonder if I could ask you a question journalistically. What's it like to be in the room to ask Tony La Russa questions about his strategy?
Normal at this point. How do you mean?
Well, it's just that sometimes I feel like there are definitely things that you guys ask him and it feels like he thinks that he wants you to ask him those questions because he has a prepared kind of answer ready to go. And I'm just wondering, do you feel like you get enough depth from him on his decision making?
Not in the immediate post game as much as I would like, especially during like losses. And I think that's a product of the fact that, you know, something that I was told to anticipate a lot ahead of time is that he kind of wears wins and losses on his sleeve a great deal. So I think it's probably a lot more expansive or easy to get him to expound about, like, the play-by-play of everything that went into the thought process after a win, whereas a loss, you know, can tend to be a bit more brusque and defensive, and not walk me through it the way I would want. I think a lot of questions kind of get, you know, he kind of puts everything as like second guessing with more like, walk us through this so we can kind of get the thought process so we can at least, you know, accurately relay why it went into this. Like, we're not really telling the readers anything to say like, well, he thought it was the right call because, you know, that's obvious. We kind of more want the factors that put into it because there's not really emotion or like, we're not coming to it as fans of like, you know, we want blood because this went wrong. We just kind of want to know like what factors went into it. Cause you know, often if you really walk it through, like who's available, not available and why, you know, I think if people more knew why, like, you know, Liam Hendricks had an issue that he was going to go on the IL for more than he is just unavailable without explanation, it'd probably, you know, get us closer to kind of seeing where he came from, a lot of stuff. And, you know, the immediate aftermath of losses, it's kind of clear that you're just not going to get much
He makes it worse, though, James. He makes it worse. You, and I believe it was your follow-up about what happened when he's not using better relievers than Jose Ruiz. I mean, even just how he multiplies one mistake into another mistake. It's Lance Lynn. It's his inning. Doesn't realize he's tired. And then what is saving Joe Kelly for the eighth? Like, what the hell, man? Like, that's not okay. And for him to literally wag a finger and say, I'm glad you asked me that question so I can give you this dumbass response. I mean, that's not okay. He doesn't know. He doesn't realize that rather than mitigating, and I agree with you that sometimes you give a manager a chance to mitigate something that is a clear and obvious miscalculation, he doesn't even know you're doing him that favor. He couldn't wait to give you the illogic of an uninformed decision. See, that's the kind of thing I find galling, and you have to day after day.
I'm pretty adaptable, I would say. I think that, you know, with Joe Kelly, it was more of an issue of, like, I don't think he's worked beyond a single inning at this point, and he's probably a little rigid about the way he uses his top two relievers, where it's, like, very much like protecting a lead only. And so it's kind of, it's uncertain where he's willing to blur the lines a little bit to use them beyond that. But as far as, like, you know, galling, I try to strip away, like, really how the information is acquired from my analysis of moves. Because, like, if they were 50 and 20 and, you know, Tony is disrespectful to the beat writers, like, every single night, I don't think that the fans should objectively care. It's more just, like, a personal thing for me. I think it's just more kind of adds to the idea that you don't get the feeling of understanding why this is happening or why things are going wrong if there's not kind of a thorough accounting afterwards.
In the years that you've covered baseball, have you ever seen a team that would allow for as many guys to maybe not go as hard because they're so concerned about how many of them are injured?
No, but this is also my sixth year covering baseball. Half of them were more or less rebuilding. Not more or less rebuilding, very nakedly rebuilding, and one of them was 60 games long. Yeah, it definitely feels unique. It definitely feels, you can see it pinching them on the margins of every single game recently, that they can't take the extra base, that they can't stretch things, that they can't kind of make infield hits happen the way, you know, maybe the Orioles can. But they can't, you know, the Orioles kind of won a game in the series by just stealing lots of bases and creating havoc. Like, that's not an option for them. Like, they have to grind things out with a lot of station baseball on top of, you know, not hitting home runs very often. It just makes them have to have extremely good nights of just executing everything perfectly at the plate, being bad at ball luck for everything to fall in place. And you need as many ways to win as possible, and you can see this shutting off multiple ways for them every night.
Where's Yasmani Grandal?
He's traveling with the team. As far as, like, his recovery process, it's not really clear. They said he's ramping up baseball activities, but, you know, we asked kind of, is there a rehab stint? You know, I think there's a rehab stint coming at the end of this, but as far as the date for it, they haven't really said what it is. It's been a little vague at this point. I think it's dependent on how he feels and how much the back discomfort goes away as he's, you know, doing more catcher and hitter things.
I keep wondering about the risk calculus when it comes to the injured guys, James, where it seems like what the White Sox organizationally has said is, look, guys could probably use more time in Charlotte or Arizona or wherever before they come back to the team. But we feel we're better off and we probably don't have enough organizational depth to weather guys getting to 95% or however close to 100% a player can be at this point in the season. I'm worried about that. When it comes to the players and the organization, has anyone brought up the idea of, are we rushing guys back for the reason of trying to win this season, and would we be better off in letting guys heal as much as they could?
I think it's been more like case by case. I don't think, like, Eloy's been shut down when things have cropped up on him, and, you know, Yoan Moncada is kind of pursuing, you know, 100% no discomfort because they're worried about things recurring for him, because obviously it has recurred for him multiple times. But I think they're more hesitant to IL guys who have been more or less healthy this year, like, you know, Andrew Vaughn as far as his legs, or or AJ Pollock since he came back was something that they don't feel like is a particular injury that needs to be shut down, or something can go away, or the fact that, you know, Jose Abreu just never goes on the injured list. I don't think it's like a broad thing where everybody's getting like pushed back, but there seems like there's more guys that they're about the complications rising, or with Yasmani Grandal feeling like he would get better through playing because there wasn't some new thing that he could aggravate as much as he just wasn't at full strength off his rehab. So I don't know if there's like one broad thing I could say that they're rushing everyone back, but there's certain instances of we don't think this is going to help that much to shut him down, and we're at a point where we're already kind of, you know, half of our lineup is fill-ins, and we don't really want to get it much weaker.
We are talking to James Fegan of The Athletic. He covers the White Sox for them on their beat as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by our local Hyundai dealers.
James, I appreciated when Rick Hahn was talking about the injuries that he kind of came to the conclusion of, I don't know. And I think that that's a good answer, because the last 3 years kind of throw everything out of whack anyway from an injury standpoint. What do you think is going to happen in the offseason when it comes to the White Sox looking at how they do all of this? Am I thinking too broadly? Like, is there a reckoning that's going to come, or is it something that's so confusing because of the last three seasons that no one in baseball has a good idea of how to keep guys healthy and on the field?
I mean, yes to everything. I mean, I brought this up with them last year when, you know, they were, kind of really starting to lead the league in leg injuries that, and he said, like, yeah, they were kind of looking into overhauling it. We're overhauling our practices to some degree, and he wouldn't get into specifics about it, but the end of that season came with them replacing Alan Thomas, the strength and conditioning coach. Now, asking about it, why we're not seeing the returns for a change or some sort of systemic change in the organization this season, it seems like it's as bad as last year or worse. His explanation is that he feels like the benefits of changing a strength and conditioning program is going to come through a full offseason, or having full communication with their players throughout the offseason, and not having a 3.5 week spring training after a 3.5 month period where they couldn't really communicate with anybody. Now, the implications of that is that nothing about the baseline conditions that's creating all these injuries is really going to get better in 2022 necessarily. All they can basically do is just triage and react to what's happening. And this is kind of really a sacred season in terms of their contention window. You don't have a lot of your core players signed past next season. So to have this year kind of spiraling away and not really have anything that can really be done to arrest the main issues, that's really concerning. But I also kind of get it from the standpoint of how can you really judge what their new programs will be able to do, what Goldie Simmons is able to do when he's been working with the circumstances he's been given of. You can't talk to any players for 4 months, and then you have 3 weeks in spring to kind of get them ready. Good luck. So I get it, but it's also, it seems like the last three seasons have all been kind of waylaid with special circumstances that there aren't great answers for, and this is supposed to be the time that everybody is waiting on for their suffering to be rewarded with the White Sox.
Before the Gavin Sheets home run, the Sox had gone the most games without a homer. A stretch in 2015. And last year, the White Sox were seventh in all of baseball in isolated power at 166. This year, their ISO number is 28th of 30 teams at 125. Only Oakland and Detroit have a lower isolated power number than the White Sox. Other than injury, is there anything that's happened?
Overtly, their plate discipline is bad. So there's chasing out the zone. They're not walking. They're swinging at pitches that they can't really drive. Now, why are they doing that? Obviously, you see guys who have aggressive approaches to the plate, like, you know, Luis Robert when he's trending bad, or any kind of the free swingers in this lineup. I don't want to focus just on him, but drawing a blank. But and certainly someone like Gavin Sheets, the way he struggled in the early part of the season, it just seemed like he was popping up a lot of pitches that maybe he was driving last year, and they're hoping that he's got a little bit on track. I would say you can certainly point to injuries as a big thing, since he obviously wasn't performing great when he went down and his struggle at Charlotte, and, you know, was inconsistent last year, but Eloy Jimenez is supposed to be the guy who was like a 40 home run threat in the middle of his lineup and boosting up that power score by himself. Jose Abreu has been, you know, his play discipline has been great, so he doesn't really fit in that broad explanation, but is not really kind of maybe lifting the ball with the, even though the batted ball numbers look great for him as far as like hard hit rate. So it's hard to put your finger on any one thing, but broadly, I can't say that you can lead the league in chase rate and not get any walks and continually kind of put the pitches on the edges in play and have a high ground ball rate and say like, well, where is the power? Why are we getting it? Because they're not doing the things, these typical ingredients. You know, the top, you know, Yankees, Astros, every top offense you can imagine has, you know, a low ground ball rate and a low chase rate, and the White Sox just aren't there.
How confident are the White Sox that they can fix some of the issues that Lucas Giolito has been dealing with over the last month?
Outwardly, very confident, I imagine, since they say it's, you know, he's healthy. It's all about just mechanics. It's not some issue where he's the same guy and throwing the same stuff as he was in 2019. The league has just figured him out, and there's no kind of adjustments they can make. It's about restoring him to the type of, you know, fastball life and ride that he was getting, you know, every year since 2019 up until now, but it slips in a way for reasons that they think is mostly mechanical, and it seems to correlate with him coming off the COVID IL. So as far as just getting him physically in line, it's something they've done before with this specific pitching coach. So I would think it's achievable, but obviously the fact that you went through this kind of prolonged stretch of multiple starts with this inconsistency, it's something to weigh with him going forward.
James Feegan, thank you as always. Look forward to talking again soon.
All right.
That is James Feegan.
I got a great picture of him. He was on a Cap Show Unfiltered on NBC Sports Chicago, and he was doing it from the dugout. So he had like his Maverick shades on. He had his aviators on. And I took the picture and sent it to him. I was like, I know your parents and your sister want to see that pic right there, because James out here looking good.
Frank Thomas had some thoughts on the moribund White Sox. We'll bring those to you next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
To third, Nevin. Sox fall tonight 4-1 and do so quietly.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that the Orioles have come in, taken two, but they've outplayed the Sox in every category to this point. This, from a Sox standpoint, was a very dull baseball game.
That's putting it mildly. Not wrong, just putting it mildly.
I was there, and I can confirm.
They ended up, well, I was there the night before.
You had a great time, though.
I did, even though the baseball, the outcome was awful. But watching them run around the outfield and make some of those plays, man, you're not a baseball fan if you're not appreciative of that.
Well, James kind of spelled it out where you had this difference in the two teams where Baltimore was giving everything they could to try and win games. And the White Sox are just kind of drifting. And to me, there's a real danger in it. Like, there's a danger in trying to drift your way to a championship.
It was ugly. Everyone felt bad about it, and everyone felt miserable about it Saturday. Not as miserable Sunday, even though the White Sox seemed to want to try to make us as miserable as possible, even though they were able to eke out, salvage a win in a home series against the Orioles. They had to salvage a win. Don't get me started again.
And they had to really fight in the ninth inning to hold on to salvage a win against the Orioles at home in June.
White Sox post-game live Friday night, NBC Sports Chicago, Frank Thomas.
People hate bullpen games. It was very effective tonight with a very good bullpen.
Yeah.
But I mean, I said it before the game started. This team is sleepwalking. They are sleepwalking. You can feel it. There's no energy. Even the last out there, Luis Robert's first pitch, you're down three runs, first pitch out. I mean, that's just, it wasn't a good pitch to hit either. So, I mean, it's just one of these things right now. Guys are going through the motion. Something's got to shake it up. You know, I think we need to, hell, if I was a manager, I'd bench everybody tomorrow. Just to send that signal, but there's no one. But there's no one to bring in.
Lenin Sosa. Lenin Sosa. That's the answer.
There's no one to bring in right now. I mean, guys are soul searching. I mean, this is awful.
Yeah.
It's not getting any better. And tonight you saw a game with no energy. So that really, you know, put a cap on what's going on right now.
Give it to him, Big Hurt, Frank Gordon, and Chuck Salty. Our Chuck Salty. We're here telling the stories of what was going on with the White Sox. That's what I was telling you last week. Increasingly, there is some offense to the baseball sensibilities of the guys who play baseball for the White Sox who are out here telling you about the White Sox. With each passing game, those guys are like, that doesn't look right. That doesn't look right. And I'm glad that I'm hearing them say and calling it out when they see it. If they see something that they don't like and they see something that's completely wrong, of saying it. And they are. Whether it's DJ on the radio, and like you said, like pointing out Lenin Sosa.
You, like the way he said it too, it was sour. Where he said, yeah, sure, it's amazing what can happen when you have somebody who's able to run hard and put the stress on a defense and force them to make a play. I'm like, oh, jeez, okay.
The uniqueness of the way the White Sox are approaching the season from a physical standpoint is fascinating. Like, if it works, great. Like, if they end up at some point with what they think is their whole roster and they're able to bang their way to the playoffs, although I am concerned about, you know, you want to talk about, like, dark cloud White Sox bleep.
Yes.
Here's some of mine.
I know it well.
Here's some of mine, Dan. The White Sox make it into the playoffs and then have to play a series in Toronto.
And then are without their unvaccinateds.
Right. Without two of their four best pitchers.
With Graveman and Cease.
Yeah. This is like a little dark cloud that hovers over me.
Congratulations, you've made it, and you don't have your best pitcher or your second best reliever. And you don't have your best reliever right
now. I'm thinking of, like, them matching up with Toronto, and then at the end of the season, like, Tony having to kind of do the math of, we got to pitch Cease here because we can't pitch him there. And then
Alejandro Kirk goes placata over and over and over again.
Yes, he does.
Did he do it again yesterday?
He's so great. He's
just a
barrel. You want the Alejandro Kirk body pillow, right?
Yep. I want that on one side. I want Stan Van Gundy on the other, and I will sleep
like a baby.
Do
you want the actual Stan Van Gundy in the bed?
I'd be open to it. Oh, speaking of which, quick update on the dog. I know we've got a break here because we've got transition coming up in a bit. As of tonight, I believe
we give our
lovely dog back to the rightful owners. Our dog sitting will be complete. I made sure her exposure to White Sox baseball was limited.
Okay, good.
But it was very interesting to watch. Well, we were told the dog would not get on a couch, would not climb into a bed, and Beth came home the other night, and who was curled up in the love seat in the sitting area off the main bedroom?
Well, that's nice.
She was. And then in the middle of the night, we got a report the next morning that the dog jumped into Jason's bed.
Oh.
At like 3 a.m. And
so the dog's bonded with Jason.
Apparently the dog is just now comfortable trying to push. It finally got to the part. It's like, all right, these people seem nice. This may not be my regular house, but this is like being at grandma and grandpa's, maybe, right? Where you can just kind of do stuff that you can't do with you. She was trying it out. She was trying to see what she could get away with.
God, I loved going in my grandmother's house when I was little.
That's your joint. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know they can give you back.
The amount of whoopings that I was saved from by my grandmother.
Well, different house, different rules. You know.
She would just, no, don't hit that baby. That's right. Don't hit this baby right here.
You mean this baby?
Look at him. He didn't do anything wrong.
The comb, sure. The comb goes back in the purse?
Sure, he was at Robichaud Park until, you know, late night. But it's fine. Don't beat him. Sure, he went down to the candy store in the random house down the street. That's fine. Sure, he crossed the street when you told him not to.
Wait, a pop-up candy store in a house?
There's a lot of those over on the South Side. At least in the 80s, there were.
Someone just said, we've got candy, come on
yeah,
over?
Yeah, like no, not they weren't giving you the candy. There was a transaction that was going on. Okay. You give them money and you get some chews or some now-laters or whatever. Chico sticks. You know, you do all that stuff.
Chico sticks, yeah.
You know? Yep. Somebody would have a lot of candy, and they were selling. By the way,
this candy just might have fallen off a truck in the neighborhood.
I'm talking about actual candy. This isn't a euphemism. It's actual candy. People buy it in bulk, and they sell it for a profit, like kids would do at school. You get a little mini bar, Snickers bar, and it probably didn't cost you much because you got it out of a big old bag, but you sold it for a quarter and you get yourself a profit.
What do you think the guys are doing on 35th? When you get off the red line on 35th, and there's...
That Laffy Taffy.
And it's whatever you need. Your little things, a fireball, your...
Candy girl!
That was all bought in bulk. That's how it works.
I still will occasionally, if it's not too warm outside... And I see someone that's got, like, now they're wearing, like, the necklaces of chews. When you get off of 57, when you get off the Ryan, I'm like, if you got some grape chews, I'm down.
And that ideal fruit vendor.
Darnell.
When we come back, we will give you the greatest owner in professional sports.
Candy girl!
Okay, that's enough.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
It's the Bernstein and Holmes show. When we are done, it'll be the Parkins and Spiegel show. Did I see Mark Crotty roaming the hallways? Is he hosting today?
I've seen Parkins, Spiegel, Shane, Tanny, and Grody.
Oh, well, maybe Grody was just saying hi because he knows that we love his face and love his suit. This weekend, an owner in professional sports got another championship. And that will be 3 championships in 135 days. He is someone who is reviled. Like, there are people who hate Stan Kroenke. And for good reason. My brothers and sisters that are listening in St. Louis right now hate Stan Kroenke. As someone who is a fan of Arsenal, there are a lot of Arsenal fans who hate Stan Kroenke. Although, they did at least make it to Europa League after finishing 52 points behind the Champions League spot. Stan Kroenke is now the owner of the NFL champ, Super Bowl champion Rams. He won a National Lacrosse League Cup. And yesterday, as owner of the Colorado Avalanche, he now has the Stanley Cup.
Wow.
Can you hate an owner and enjoy the fact that he will kind of do whatever it takes to win?
I think that's a loaded but fascinating question about what can you hold your nose and live with some of it if you get the other part of it.
It kind of seems like most sports fans can, but yeah.
Right, because most sports teams' owners are execrable oligarchs.
That's a good term for Kroenke.
It's just true. They're It's the plutocrat class. It's they're in it for different reasons than we are, but if they're delivering championships, they're delivering championships.
What's interesting, like with the hockey team and the football team, I honestly don't know anything about the lacrosse team, is that the football team is like, bleep them draft picks. The hockey team has been one of the forward-thinking organizations in the NHL when it comes to using some of the science and using some of the numbers. It's very interesting to see that the way that those two teams are kind of matched up under the same ownership.
Transition with Parkins and Spiegel in just a couple minutes on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.